Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 17. John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 17. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said again to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here with your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name." I am getting a little bit sad because we're nearing the end of the Gospel of John. I have so enjoyed preaching on a constant basis from this book. We've all experienced periods of transition in our lives. Most of them we still remember: the first day of school, graduation, getting married. Some of us have experienced the death of loved ones, retirement. All of these are life's milestones, aren't they? Things that we must experience as we go through life. Yet we all too face a final transition from this life to the next. So how does one prepare for such a transition? Jesus is anticipating a transition as Mary clings to him. Listen to it again in verse 17. "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." Jesus has lived his life on earth, the 30 plus years, suffered greatly, and is now in the victory circle. He's conquered Satan, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, that Lord over death, Jesus has conquered him. His head has been crushed by the seed of Eve, as prophesied in the very beginning of time and of the Bible. And yet he still has more to do, doesn't he? As a couple of years back, we went through a series of lessons on the 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, his appearances, trying to put them in order. Sometimes that's a little bit difficult, not absolutely necessary either. But his appearances, the continued miraculous signs that he performs, such as on the shores of the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and then finally his ascension some 10 days before the day of Pentecost. But during this 40 days, Jesus is solidifying his teachings, especially with his disciples, who we see today are about to become the ones sent, or the apostles, as Jesus said, "I am going to send you." When Jesus said, "I don't need you to keep clinging to me, Mary. I'm about to ascend, or I have yet to ascend to the Father," there was more than just, "I've got more to do, Mary." Implied in that is that you don't have me back forever. It's not going to be the same old, same old. It's not that you've lost me and now I've been found and we get to continue to walk through this world together. I have yet to ascend to the Father. There is more to do. There is another transition, and a major one. We've talked repeatedly about how important it was for Christ to be resurrected from the dead through that resurrection being declared the Son of God, Paul said in Romans 1:4. But what if he had not ascended? Don't we sometimes still yearn to have God walking with us as he did with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden, as the disciples have had for the last 30 plus years, his actual presence on this earth? What would that have meant? In actuality, it would have been a failure, because that would have made Jesus Lord of this earth, not Lord of heaven. It would have made his kingdom an earthly one. And that's the whole problem with his people right now. They wanted a king. And we're going to see as we look through today's lesson that his disciples are still baffled. We read in verse 9 of chapter 20 last week, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." And the reason why that was so difficult for them to grasp is because they had a human concept of a king. An earthly king upon an earthly throne with an earthly kingdom. So that when that king died upon the cross, the Romans had won. In their mind, Peter's sword had not been used for its designed purpose, though he had cut off an ear. They had not placed Jesus upon the throne specifically. And so what are they doing 3 days? And I might add, about 72 hours after the Last Supper, here they are gathered together with the door locked, still trying to come to grips with what's happened. Peter and John have listened to Mary's request. They have run to the tomb and then they have returned. And now they're in a room fearing the Jews. I have written on the marquee, "They were hiding in fear when their risen Lord appeared." Let's look again at verse 19. "So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" Yeah, the disciples are afraid. They are hiding. How do you do with traveling? Are you a traveler? Do you have a wanderlust? Or do you just travel because you have to? Do you like to go by car, by bus, by train, by air, by boat? Maybe you're more daring and it's by motorcycle. Do you have a hog? Maybe even by bicycle. Of course, it depends upon where you're going, doesn't it? Upon your destination, how far away is it? Is it overseas? Is it across the country? Have you ever been filled with foreboding before a trip? We have a couple of from our congregation right now, Ken and Isaac, his son Isaac, that are in Honduras. They've traveled down to do mission work, and we've requested that you continue to remember them in your prayers. How do you feel about traveling south right now in our current climate? And I'm not talking about the temperature outside. Maybe you don't like to fly at all, or you don't want to drive over torturous roads. And quite often it's uncertainty. We just don't know what to expect, especially from an unfamiliar sojourn or journey. The disciples are in fear. What they're about to experience in life, the road that they're about to travel, is an unknown to them. And I think we can identify. Because the Jews have linked arms with the Romans and killed Jesus, they are afraid. Peter has denied his Lord three times. Uncertainty is a dark cloud that hangs over them. And yet Jesus offers them peace. Within the reading, we see it three times. Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you." In verses 19, 21, and 26, he wants to assuage their fears. And yet Jesus is doing other things, and we do a little bit of a synopsis of the gospel, drawing from that which we looked at a couple of years back on the resurrection appearances. John records for us that Jesus has appeared to Mary. And then there's this next appearance. But during that time, there have been other appearances and other witnesses. In Matthew's account, Jesus has appeared to the women, Matthew 28 and verse 9, and told them to go tell the disciples that he is here and to go to Galilee. In Luke's account, there is a third appearance to the two on the road to Emmaus, in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 32. And something that's very interesting is that those two men are currently with the disciples. According to Luke, when Jesus appears, those two men on the road to Emmaus have come to them and said, "We have spoken with the Lord. We know that he has risen." So think, here they are in fear, and yet what has God already provided for them? For Peter and John initially, the empty tomb. Mary has seen the Lord. The women have seen the Lord. The two men on the road to Emmaus have seen the Lord. And we find recorded for us that even Peter has seen the Lord sometime this day in Jerusalem. And that is in Luke's account in chapter 24 and verse 34, and in Paul's letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5. So Peter has not only seen an empty tomb prior to this, he has also seen the Lord. And yet they are still in fear. How can they still be in fear? Jesus has shown himself to be the true king of a spiritual kingdom, the Son of God, and yet they still quake in fear. What's God trying to do? Remove all doubt. To give them inner comfort. It's similar to what he had said 72 hours earlier, as we've already mentioned in John chapter 14 and verse 1. "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." What we have is Jesus fulfilling that transitional promise. "I have not yet ascended, but I'm going." And as he presents himself now in his resurrected body, it's still one that can be looked upon and touched and bears the scars and the signs of torture. But now he is saying to them, "Trust me, peace be with you." And so this is now, from what we have recorded, the fifth appearance of Jesus. But it is late in the day. In fact, it is toward evening of the first day. So it's prior to 6 p.m. But that whole concept of appearances is quite astonishing. Jesus hasn't been hiding. He's been holding conversations. He's been in close contact, especially with Mary and with the women. They have hugged him and clung to him. Turn me loose, he says. But now he simply appears in the middle of the room with a door that is locked for fear of the Jews. A miraculous manifestation. That's a sign for them. His resurrection and his appearances like he does. And we see it again 8 days later with Thomas in the room. He simply appears in the midst of them. Can we not understand the import of such a sign and such a miracle? Beam me up, Scotty, has nothing on what took place in the first century. And he appeared in the midst of them. They were afraid. He is comforting them. He's appeared to Mary, to the other women, to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, to Peter, and now to the ten. Finally, then, his appearance, at least according to what we have in this chapter of John, to Thomas in verse 26. Let's read that. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here with your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who do not see and yet believed." Turn with me to hymn number 585. 585. Do me nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee, even though it be a cross that raiseth me. Still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Though like a wanderer the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone, yet in my dreams I'd be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Or if on joyful wing, cleaving the sky, sun, moon, and stars for God, upward I fly. Still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Thomas, do you believe because you've seen me? That's what Thomas had said. I'll not believe till I touch him, till I see it. And then Christ grants his wish, doesn't he? Why yield to Thomas? Well, that's just where Thomas was in his spiritual development. And so he allows Thomas to see him, to touch the wounds. And how does Thomas respond? My Lord and my God. But the importance of what Jesus says then, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And what was Christ saying? You and I are more blessed than Thomas by the Father because we didn't get to see and touch the risen Lord. And yet we still believe. Why? Why do you believe without that evidence? It seems that Christ appeared to many. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that he even appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. Then he appears to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. We have 11 specific recorded incidences during that 40-day period, and then you add Paul's after that, a dozen appearances of Christ. And yet today, what do we find? With all of that evidence, and that evidence, John says, and I'm going to emphasize this in this afternoon's lesson, is recorded for us so that we might believe in the last verses of John chapter 20. Written down so that we would have faith. Eyewitnesses' account, testimony from those who were there, so that you and I might have faith. Let's sing another song, 573. We'll sing the first and last verses. 573.
Know me so, I believe in Jesus. I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He died and rose again. I believe He paid for us all. And I believe He's here now, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive. I believe in You, Lord. I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You died and rose again. I believe You paid for us all. And I believe You're here now, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive.
And that is the hope that we have because of Christ's resurrection, because He has defeated Satan. He has conquered death, and what then does He offer to us? Oh, it's a message of hope, isn't it? Jesus says, I'm going to ascend to the Father, and assume the throne is His implication. And so when He appears to the disciples, He says, the Father sent me, implication, I've accomplished my work, I am about to send you. And that is the definition of an apostle, one who is sent, a disciple follows, an apostle is sent. And so a very important part of Jesus' appearance to His disciples in today's reading is that He breathed on them and gave them the Holy Ghost. And He says to them, I'm going to give you the power over sin. What sins you forgive are forgiven. What sins you retain are retained. You know what Jesus is saying there? I'm giving you the power, the message of the gospel. Just before He does ascend into heaven, according to Matthew's gospel in Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18, He says, all authority or all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Here He is sending them. And what with that message born by the Holy Spirit. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Who's this message for? Teach all nations. Go into all the world, proclaiming what? That you must believe that I am He. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In Mark's gospel, this commission is recorded. Go into all the world. This is from Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you hear it? Do you see it? What sins you forgive are forgiven. What sins you retain are retained. They have received, they have been inspired to impart to the world the truth. All Scripture is inspired by God, Paul will tell Timothy, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That's the power of faith in Jesus Christ. He that believeth, Thomas, do you simply believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Oh, the resurrection. Oh, the ascension. Oh, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May it not be true of us that they were hiding in fear when their risen Lord appeared, because He will appear again, won't He? In the same manner in which you have seen Him ascend into heaven, He will return, is recorded for us in Acts chapter 1. He will appear. I pray that I'm not quaking with fear, having succumbed to the pressures of the world. Are you ready to make the transition? To answer the boarding call? Have you answered it? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the air. I would love to be in that crowd, wouldn't you? Standing before the Lord, believers, though having never seen Him until that moment, believing and obeying Him now. Nearer, my God, to Thee. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He died and rose again.